Make a joyful noise in the Lord. I make a joyful squawk, it seems like, but they've got some really good singers here. So, but it's not easy, especially when dealing with music and little people and everything else too, and it can be a real challenge. It can be very time consuming. So thanks again to Piper, all that she's done, and it is a commitment and it is just time consuming. And thanks parents for bringing the kids early, right? I mean, that's a sacrifice on your part too. So thanks again for all of that. And tonight we're going to have a candlelight communion service. If you weren't, again, last week we read the account of Jesus, his birth, Matthew chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 2. But often we think of communion and taking elements as a religious ceremony, but the Lord views things very differently from a biblical standpoint. And we'll read a few scriptures, and then we're going to take communion, talk a little more about communion. If we turn to John chapter 15, if you can see it tonight in your Bibles, or just write it down, but John chapter 15, and again, the religious mindset for communion is that we just take this, its elements, we just do it as a ritual, and it's not just a ritual. But John chapter 15, verse 9 says, and this is Jesus talking, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, it says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So Jesus here is talking a lot about love, isn't he? He's talking about the love that is given to him from the Father is transmitted to us. He is transmitting the love of the Father that he receives to us. And he says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I've loved you. Verse 13, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, Jesus is the ultimate, you know, we always talk about love, but love is really sacrifice, isn't it? It's something that we give to one another. And so Jesus is defining, one of his definitions of love is love. He loved myself, but verse 13, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's, here we go, friends. Now, I want to focus tonight, just spend a few minutes talking about friends, because Jesus has a lot of things to say about friends. And we move on here from this, and it says, you are what my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Jesus is beginning to define a relationship between, at that time, his disciples, but now it's us. And then he goes on, he says, now you are my friends. He's using friends a lot, isn't he? We're going to define what a friend is. Since I have told you everything the Father told me. What is he saying? He's saying a friend is someone I confide in and disclose my deep inner person. It's not just someone that we casually meet. So you see that communion, as we get deeper into this tonight, communion is not just an action. It is a transaction between friends. And then he goes on here and he says, now you're my friend since I've told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. And I've said this before. We've talked, Jesus said there in John chapter 3, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me, right? In the book of John, he says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. But we see here that I believe one of the greatest pursuits in the Bible is that we're not actually pursuing God, but that God is pursuing us. And we see that nearly 2,000 years ago when God pursued us through Jesus. He sent his most valuable asset. We can say asset for financial people. An asset. That's your most valuable possession, which is his son. He sent it. Why? For us to be friends. And we're going to talk more about that here. But it says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you, here we go, whatever you ask for using my name. This is my commandment, love each other. Jesus is now defining in a new relationship with his disciples. It is not God who is afar off in Mount Sinai while Moses and the Israelites are at the bottom of the mountain. Now God is speaking through Jesus, and Jesus says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God is speaking through Jesus now and says, we are now friends. James 4:4 says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that you are that the friendship of the world is enemy with God? Did you know that we can have a friendship with the world? And that alliance and friendship with the world is actually enmity, or what we call hostility towards God. So God values friendship with him. And then it goes on, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Matthew 10:33 says, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And God is very focused on this friendship. Matthew 10:20, I'm going to move through some scriptures tonight. Matthew 10:21 says, and the brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death because of this friendship. This friendship that we have, we see it so innocent and so wonderful. It is very divisive for you, and you're going to be tested when you have a friendship with God. Then it goes on, Matthew 10:35 says, for I have come not to set man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Luke 12:53 says, the father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother. Why? Because of this friendship. Jesus said there is a toxicity between the friendship of the world and the friendship of him. Our walk with Jesus and this baby that was born 2,000 years ago will put family member against family member, will put friend against friend in this world, and your friendship with Jesus will be put to the test. And going into this communion, and when in the communion, the covenant, it's that God values above all things loyalty to him. Because we just read, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. What's that mean? If you're not going to be my friend, I am not loyal to you. But we see Jesus said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you, did he? Didn't he say that? He did. Friendship. Let's talk about friendship. Remember the Britannica, those encyclopedias? That's online now. Just so, you know. Remember those guys used to walk around and they'd sell encyclopedias, go house to house? That was back in the 20th century, you know. Some of you don't know that yet, you know. If you're born in the years 19 before, that's... So the Britannica talks about friendship, and I thought it was very interesting. Friendship with the Lord, again, will be tested in relationship. Friendship, before we get into communion tonight, I want to talk a little bit about friendship. And it defines friendship, it is recognized by both members of the relationship and is characterized by a bond or a tie of reciprocated affection. I like that. Reciprocated affection. That kind of rolls off the tongue pretty sweet, doesn't it? Reciprocated. Ooh, sounds fancy. But there's reciprocated affection. And what that is there's both parties that are engaged in this relationship. Right? Any relationship, it's a two-way street. There's two parties that are actively involved. And Jesus is saying, you got to be engaged with me. You got to be engaged in this relationship. We're going to be friends. I need you. People say, well, God doesn't need me. Yeah, he does need you. He does. He does. It is not obligated, but two individuals choose to form a friendship with each other. In Western societies, friends are one of the least prescribed close relationships with no formal duties or legal obligation to one another. This, what it means is this, it's you're doing this because you want to. It is typically in the nature, unlike parent-child relationship, for instance, each individual in a friendship has about the same amount of power or authority in the relationship. Do you know any time you can walk away? He will never walk away. But what he's saying is, we are now friends. We're now sharing things on the same level. We're now confiding in each other. You know, the really cool thing about the relationship with God is you can walk away with any time. I don't know why you want to, but he gives us that freedom. Just like in the Garden of Eden, there was a freedom to make a decision. You have to want to obey me. You have to want to be my friend. God showed up every day. The Lord showed up every day in the cool of the day to walk into fellowship with Adam and Eve. There was a freedom. Our existence began with fellowship with God, and now when we see the whole Bible is about Jesus rescuing us, and it's about us falling from grace from God and God restoring us back to you, and actually even better, in eternity with him. Because now we know what it's like to be without him and to have sin and to see death and to see heartache and loss and to betrayal and mistrust. And at the end, we see that all it is just getting us back to that fellowship and that friendship with him. And in most, always characterized by what? Companionship and shared activities. In fact, one of the primary goals and the motivation of friendship is companionship. In addition, adolescents and adults often perform other functions such as serving or emotional support or providing opportunities or self-disclosure or intimacy as friends, sharing hearts, sharing things with that friend of yours. And what is it all? It's all based on trust, relationship, building something together. And so as we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll read the scriptures here, but what is Jesus? What is the whole communion setting? The whole communion setting is the Last Supper. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is recounting what we saw in the Gospels, towards the end of the Gospels, where Jesus is setting, and it's right before Judas Iscariot betrays Jesus and sells him for 30 pieces of silver. And in this setting, Jesus, it's the Last Supper. He knows the time, and he's talking with them. And they're saying, we'd never betray you, we'd never betray you, we'd never betray you. But it's in the setting of the Last Supper, and within the Hebrew culture and ancient culture, fellowship was based around a meal. When you sat and you ate with someone in that culture, and even today in our culture, when you share a meal with someone, it's because of you are there to fellowship. You are breaking bread. What is breaking bread? It's fellowship. It's friendship, right? And what did Jesus say? As I break this bread, it's symbolic of my body. What is he saying? He's saying, well, this communion, this Last Supper that we're going to have, it's based off of a love I have for you, and I hope you have a love for me. And it's based off of friendship. You know, there is a father-son and a son-daughter and a mother-daughter relationship. There's children and there's relationships. But the ultimate thing is when you do grow up and mature to become friends. Because I hope someday my girls, I'm not going to sit there and tell them all everything. Because even today I said, you got to make your own decisions, right? You got to make your own decisions. What am I doing? I'm trying to develop them into women. They're going to be independent to be able to think for themselves, right? Because I don't want to sit around and tell somebody that's, you know, grown adults how to do everything. But there's got to be a transitional period where now we go beyond just me telling. You know, remember those days? I mean, the parents, you're changing diapers. You know, we were just talking about, you know, we're coming to wintertime and you got little people. All you're doing is, you know, you're bundling them up and you're putting boots on them and you're doing this and doing that. And then when you get one ready, they run off and you got to get this one ready. And you get them in the car, you get them in the car seat, and you're doing all of these things. But there comes a point, and the Bible talks about, you know, we're going from faith to faith and glory to glory. The Apostle Paul talks about milk, you know. We need to grow up in the meat, which is meal. It's we grow and develop. What does that mean? We get out of the, oh God, help me, everything's melting to, I'm here to serve you, Lord. How can I bless you today? Right? I mean, I love, you know, buying my kids things and buying things, but you know, it'd be really good when someday they come and say, Dad, I'm going to pay for that. Cool. Right? You know? Oh, I want to bless you with that. Okay, fine. Because when we go from obligation or my responsibility to friendship, you know what? I want to do this for you because I love you. And not because I have to. That's where God's saying, Jesus is saying in these scriptures, that's where I want to be. I want it to be when we come together, there's fellowship. You know, those people that I remember a few weeks, it's been a few weeks ago, I saw a guy that I went to high school with. We used to run around together and everything. And you know what? I don't know if you've been around those people before when you're younger. And you get together, and I remember it was like we're 16 again. You know? And my uncle passed away a few years back, and I did his funeral, and I'm there. Anyway, he had gotten remarried to a lady. She's a wonderful gal. They were Christians, born again, saved. But he had passed away. But I remember he had married a lady that was a relative to some of my really good friends when I was really young and in grade school and later on. And it was like we just got together, and it was like we were 10 again. Like we just picked up right where we left off, right? And no time had passed. It was just like we felt like we were 12. Laughing about things we did as kids. Why is that? Because we're friends. Because we don't see anything else. We see the relationship. And that's where we want, Jesus is sitting here saying, the friendship is just, we come together, we're like this. You know, too many people are like, oh, I'm trying not to sin. I'm trying not to do this. I'm trying not to do this. How about become friends with God? Why not just become friends with God? Friends are happy to see each other, right? Friends are giving, you know? So again, the setting in 1 Corinthians here, before we take up communion, we read the scripture. This is a setting that Jesus is getting together with his disciples. They're eating together, they're sharing things, and Jesus is what? Pouring his heart out to his disciples before he's going to the ultimate sacrifice. What an amazingly centered, strong person Jesus is to know down the inside, you're going to die hours from now. And literally hours, you're going to be tortured, you're going to be beat, you're going to be abused. And you're sitting there, and your whole focus is on my friendship. I don't know if I got that, to tell you the truth. But I'm not Jesus either, right? None of us are on that level. We're like Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. But the point is, that's some very, very, Jesus is extremely strong. I guess when you're sweating blood under stress, there's things going on. It's going to be very difficult. But as we read this, it says, and, verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, talking about the bread, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. What's the body? What's his body broken for? It's broken for us, but it's broken for healing, because by his stripes we're healed, right? His body is something that gives us strength. The Bible says that we don't live by bread alone, but by what? Jesus said, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. Then he goes on and he says, after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. What is he saying? He's saying, this covenant that I'm going to pay, they don't understand it at the time when he's saying these things, but that covenant that he sacrificed himself opens up the way so that we can no longer have the sin barrier between us and the Father, but it brings us to be friends again. And the broken body and the blood is symbolic of the sin being broken, destroyed, can be removed from our lives, and that now the presence of God can now live in us and upon us. And from there, we can have fellowship again, just like in the garden, but even on a greater level. Because now when it was like for things to go wrong, and we can say, we don't want that anymore. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, so do you will show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body of the blood. But let every man examine himself so that he may eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation in himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For if this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. What he's saying here, now understand, the Apostle Paul is talking about the Corinthians. What happened during this time period at this very end is the Corinthians were very carnal people. Now they saw some supernatural things happen, but they would come in and drink all the wine and get drunk and eat all the bread before everybody else got there, right? So they were just treating it common rather than a holy sacrament between friends, between us and the Lord. So tonight, what we're going to do is we receive communion. This is open communion. It means anybody can participate. But I also just want to pray really. I want to pray here. Before we do that, I want to kind of explain what we're going to do. We'll come up as families. Obviously, my family will start. We'll come over here. You're more than welcome to break the bread, take it, and then take a cup. Feel free to take your time. Exactly. So if you don't have someone, make sure, connect with someone around you. Make sure to get together with some folks. You can definitely do that. We always encourage folks to hook up with another family, connect with another family when you do come up. As we're praying, you can't remember somebody you don't know, right? I don't have remembrance of Abraham Lincoln because I never met him. Okay? I mean, he, posts on TikTok all the time, but I've never met him, right? And I see his Facebook, but I'm kidding. But I've never met those people, so I don't remember them. If you've never met Jesus, it's easy. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you do two things, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead, you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, that you'll be saved. And that's something tonight we just want to pray, give you all an opportunity to do that. Father, I just come before you. I thank you for this, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your sacrifice, first of all, for sending Jesus to come and redeem us. But tonight, I just want to pray together. If you just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your sacrifice and your love and your friendship that you offer me. And tonight, I speak and I believe that you're the Son of God and that your Father raised you from the dead. And I proclaim you as Lord. Come into my life. Make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we'll start on this side. We'll just kind of go back. And then once we're done on this side, we'll start up here and kind of flow. But feel free to take your time up here with your family. It's a very precious time to have communion. So, amen. We'll go ahead and get started.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think everybody got served.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I just want to pray before we leave tonight. I want to tell you that Adrian and I love everybody here so much. And just want to pray that pray over us for 2025. Amen. And Lord, we just come before you tonight. First of all, Lord, we thank you for your friendship and your love for us. Tonight, Lord, I pray for all of our church family tonight. In 2025, Lord, we pray for just health and healing in every person here in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that there is a peace that passes all understanding on every household this year in the name of Jesus. Father, I also pray that people in this church would experience the blessings of God and the prosperity, Lord God, like never before. We thank you that windows of heaven are opening for people this year in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father, we just thank you that most importantly, that the Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians, the third chapter. Lord, we pray that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And also that, Lord, all of us would experience the love of God that passes all understanding tonight, Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you for a new year. And God, you're doing miracles in our families and in our lives like never before. In 2025 will be a great year. We just declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody.